Amen, amen. You may be seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the Old Testament book of the Psalms, Psalm number 1. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 309 of your Pew Bible. As we continue our stroll through the book of Psalms, we are wise if we stop and take a look at the very first psalm in the list, Psalm number 1. In this psalm, we will discover some basic wisdom from God that will prove to be priceless to our soul. Psalm number 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. The way of righteousness, the way of righteousness. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus gave a solemn warning about the choices that we have in this life. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Not only is it difficult to walk the straight and narrow path through this life, it is difficult even to find it. But the alternative is death and destruction. So since we must travel through this life, we need by all means to find that path of life that Jesus spoke of. But how do we do that? How do we know as we go through this life which path is the path of righteousness? As Jesus indicated, that path is hard to find. And don't let anyone tell you that it's not. So how do we find the way? Well, our text tells us that the Lord knows the way. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. So all we have to do is walk with God, and he will show us the way. So let us examine the text to discover the steps that we need to take to walk God's way. To walk God's way. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. To walk the path of the righteous, we must avoid the valueless. We must avoid that which has no value. A child of God does not rely on the wisdom of the ungodly. He does not travel in the fellowship of those who are committed to evil. He does not find comfort among those who shamelessly reject the things of God. To walk faithful before God, you're going to have to be opposed to some of the things that are accepted by this world. I need to say that again. To walk faithful to God, you are going to have to be opposed to some things that's okay with the world. You cannot accept everything that the world offers and then walk with God. What kind of things are you talking about, brother preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. As a child of God, you must be opposed to godless thinking. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We are being saturated in this age by godless counsel, godless advice, godless information, godless promotion. Most, if not all, of the entertainment shows that are presented on TV today are based on some godless premise or some godless idea, whether it's the glorification of homosexuality or the promotion of promiscuity or the flaunting of unfaithful spouses The message that you receive from the boob tube is that all the principles and all the things that you learn in church at home are obsolete in the 21st century. They don't matter anymore. Just throw those aside. But that's a lie from the devil. God is still on his throne, and his word still stands. And I didn't say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the internet is no better, and it's most likely worse than TV. It has some value because you can communicate with anyone in the world at any time you desire. And it has become a tool for great evil because there are a whole lot of folks in this world that you don't want to communicate anytime, any place. So the best and the worst of all mankind is available out on the internet. So the child of God has to develop discernment to choose the good from the evil. As a child of God, you must be opposed to lawless living. Lawless living. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. We must not stand in the path of sinners. That means we must not stand with them and walk the way that they're walking. That means be careful who you walk with. We must be careful who we hang out with. And that's always been true. But now more than ever, you can lose your life by being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. A godly man or woman, a godly boy or girl must use wisdom in choosing their companions. We live in a if it feels good, do it society. But don't be fooled. Actions have consequences. You have to reap what you sow. The things that you do are planting seeds for what's going to happen later on. For some reason, there's a defect in human nature that prompts people to do things in the midst of a crowd that they would never do when acting alone. People will do evil when they're in the midst of other people, just going along with the crowd, when they wouldn't do that when they were by themselves. So you need to choose your crowd carefully. You represent the Most High God. And there are some places that you should not go and some things you should not do if you have claimed that Jesus Christ is your Savior. As a child of God, you must be opposed to careless speaking. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. When we sit in the seat of the scornful, we join our voices with those who use the name of God in vain. For those who take his judgment lightly, for those who treat his grace contemptuously. Sitting in the seat of those who scorn the things of God is a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Peter tells us in the Bible that when the time comes when folks start to scoff and to scorn at the promises of God, you've entered into the last days. You've entered into God's final countdown. But you don't have to start counting with God. He'll take care of that himself. And you don't have to panic when you see things happening, because Peter also reminds us that God counts differently than we do. God is winding this world down, but don't worry, there's always time to do God's will. But if you're in the midst of doing wrongdoing, you need to hurry up and get over to the other side. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. He says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of the righteous. Peter tells us we should be looking forward to the day of God because he's going to set all things right. So if you're in the midst of doing God's will, you can look forward with anticipation to the time when God is going to make all things good here on earth. He's going to get rid of the evil. But if you're in the evil, you have a reason to be worried. To walk the path of righteousness, we must avoid that which is valueless. The ways of this world are worthless in the eyes of God. But there is more involved than just avoiding the negative. We must learn to appreciate the things of value which God has given us. Look at the text again. It said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." To walk the path of righteousness, you must appreciate the priceless. You must learn to appreciate the priceless things. A godly person delights himself in the things which God has ordained and which God prescribes. Doing God's will is not a burden, but a source of joy. He seeks opportunity to hear and takes the time to understand the Word of God. The Word of God is a priceless treasure to those who understand that God gave us his Word to strengthen us, to help us, to lift us up, to guide us, to keep us. The Word of God is foolishness to unbelievers, but to those of us who believe, it is a treasure from God. But how do we take advantage of this treasure that is the Word of God? Well, I'm glad you asked again. We need to learn how to appreciate the priceless. And that means, first of all, the godly person indulges himself in the Word of God. He indulges himself in the Word of God. The text says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." The late Dr. Stephen Ofer says, "The life blessed by God can never be separated from reading and studying the Bible. One of the greatest sins of our age is our neglect of God's holy word. That is why we have such weak and ineffective Christians in our churches." And I agree with what Dr. Ofer said. And that is why the mission statement of this ministry, Encouragement Ministry, we declare that our goal is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ through the preaching and teaching of his word. That is our prime directive. Our motto is sharing the bread of life. And that is what the Bible is to us. It is our bread of life. The word is our life. The Bible is in our name, Encouragement Ministries Bible Church. So that's what I focus on. So if you're too busy for the word, then you're too busy for the life that God has in store for you. Think about it. Being too busy to read the Bible will be like a person on his deathbed saying that he's too busy to take the cure for the sickness that is killing him. He's too busy dying to live. The word of God is our life. We cannot be too busy for the Bible because that's what gives us our life. We need to indulge ourselves in the word of God. Look at some of the benefits that we get from the word of God. Psalm number 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and altogether righteous." The godly person indulges himself in the word of God. The godly person also protects himself with the word of God. The text says, "In his law he meditates day and night." The word of God is our shield and our armor. It's our protection from the forces of this world. The Lord told Joshua that if he wanted success and prosperity when he crossed the Jordan River and all the battles that he had to fight after getting across over there, all he had to do was stay grounded in the word of God, the word that Moses had given down, had passed down to him. Listen to what God said to his servant Joshua as he was about to take over Israel and lead them across into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." The word of God is our shield and armor. The word of God is our bit and our bridle. It steers us along the righteous path. Listen to the Psalms in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want for protection from sin? Hide the word of God in your heart. And then when your flesh tried to lead you astray, the word of God will speak to you in times of weakness and bring you back. It will steer you back like a bit and a bridle. The word of God is our shield and armor. It is our bit and bridle. It's also our guiding light. Listen to what the psalmist continues to say in 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a guide for us as we walk through this world. The godly person protects himself with the word of God. To walk the path of righteousness, you must learn how to appreciate the priceless treasure that God has given you in his word. The word of God is priceless to our souls. And when we appreciate the great value that the word of God brings into our lives, it does something else for us. It gives us staying power. When we stay in the word, we learn how to hold on no matter what life brings our way. We are not driven by winds and trends. We learn how to abide. To abide means to stay where you are. The Lord says, you abide in me and I'll abide with you. Look what the text says about those who stay in God's word in verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. To walk the path of righteousness, you must abide in the timeless things. A godly person has his faith deeply rooted in the source of his salvation. He will be fruitful, he will be faithful, and his strength and his vitality will be constant. All that he does will be blessed. A godly person will be found abiding in stability. Text says, he shall be like a tree planted. Now, if you're a tree planted, that means that you will not be moved. You're not going anywhere. The wind and the rain and the storms of life will not topple you because you are planted. And the thing about a tree is that you see all of the tree that is above ground. But what you don't see is the root system that goes deep underground, holding that tree in place, giving that tree nourishment, giving that tree stability. A godly person will be found abiding in stability. A godly person will be found abiding in vitality. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If you are a tree planted by the river, then you have great strength because you have access to life-sustaining water found deep beneath the riverbed, even during the driest of times. You look at that tree, and the riverbed may be dry, but that tree is still surviving because it takes its root deep down to where the source of water is. And a child of God does the same thing in God. Your roots go deep into the Lord, so when the rest of the world is facing dryness, you're still getting your soul nourished and replenished and uplifted. If you have Jesus, you have tapped into an unseen river of everlasting water. God is your unseen source of strength and vitality. Drink from this stream and you'll never thirst again, Jesus says. A godly person will be found abiding in dependability. Look what the text says. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. When you bring forth fruit in a season, your spirit obeys God's spirit, and you produce love when love is needed. You bring forth joy when joy is needed. You bring forth peace when peace is needed. God can depend on you to bear fruit because you have abided in him. That's what I mean. God can depend on you because you're staying in him. He knows what you're capable of bringing out when he needs someone to love someone, to care for someone, to bring peace to some situation. God can depend on you. You're a fruitful servant. A godly person will find abiding in consistency. The text says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Because your roots are nourished in the river, your leaves will not wither. Because your soul is being nourished by God, your spirit does not wither. People are able to see your uplifted spirit and ask you the reason for your joy and your hope and your vitality. And that gives you an opportunity to glorify God, to tell them about the God you serve that furnishes you with nourishing water to your soul even in the driest times. A godly person will be found abiding in prosperity. Look at the text. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God has his hands on us, and we can rest assured that he will prosper us in all we attempt to do in his will. And notice I said in his will. I don't preach a prosperity gospel because the Lord has not promised to fulfill our will, but his will. And it's not the will of God that we satisfy all of our lusts and all of our desires. The Lord has promised to supply all of our needs, and because of his grace and his mercy, the Lord adds blessings to our lives that enrich us. He has blessings that we don't have coming to us, but he is just so good that he gives it to us anyway. He's going to supply everything you need, and every now and then, the Lord's going to give you a blessing that you wasn't expecting. He's just going to bless you because he's good. And that's the thing you need to understand. Not because we have been so good, but because God is so good, we can expect the blessings of God. Just walk in his will, and he'll bless you in his own time. He'll keep you through hard times, but he'll bless you when he feels like, and you just have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the blessings that enrich us the most are not material. If you think about it, if you look back at your life, they're spiritual. Those spiritual blessings that you could not have fixed on yourself, God fixed something in your life. That's the blessings that money can't put a price on. The unsaved may not see the benefit of spiritual blessing, but the child of God learns to appreciate the priceless. To appreciate the priceless. To walk the path of righteousness, you must avoid the valueless. The ways of this world are worthless in the eyes of God. To walk the path of righteousness, you must appreciate the priceless. The word of God is priceless to our soul. To walk the path of righteousness, you must abide in the timeless. The mercy of God endures forever. And it is the mercy of God which shows us the way of God. The path of righteousness is the path which keeps us in God's mercy. And it's because of his mercy that God planted us where he can bless us. God has us planted right where he can bless us. He has planted us by the river of his love so that he can nurture us and sustain us. It is because of his mercy that God decided to send his only begotten son to die for our sins so that we might have everlasting life. It is because of his mercy that God raised Jesus from the dead so that we might have absolute assurance that our sins have been washed clean. It is because of his mercy that Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'll send the Holy Spirit that he may abide with you forever. It is because of his mercy that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens and let me in, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. It's because of his mercy that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if we get lost along this life's journey, all you have to do is call on Jesus, and he will show us the way. It's because of his mercy that Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. The mercy of God flows out of the love of God. And it's the love of God that provides redemption for you and me. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't you want to base your faith on the love of God? Don't you want to base your walk on the love of God? This is your time. This is your hour. As the congregation stands and the choir comes to sing for us, as we prepare our hearts and minds for our altar prayer, you need to be opening your heart to God and showing him all those things that you want him to remove from your heart and asking the Lord to take you and allow you to walk the path of righteousness. The Lord knows what it is. Ask the Lord to show you that righteous walk so that you can walk with him.